Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Let's just jump right into today's word. Father, we want to thank you so much for an atmosphere of worship that sets the tone for our hearts to receive the word. And Father, I believe this with all my heart, with all the worship atmosphere in here this morning. If we've gotten into your worship, our hearts are ready and our minds are ready to receive your word this morning, God. Because that always preludes an open heaven is worship. And so, Lord, we want heaven to be opened in such a dimension that we cannot deny the word of God when it comes and it says and it speaks into our lives that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then we have to respond in a manner to that, Father. So, Lord, let this word come alive for you in Jesus' name and let the devil be defeated above all things. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we are in part two today of a saddles we're calling and of a series we've entitled Heaven, Hell, and the Holy Ghost. Last week we talked about heaven. This week we're going to talk about and go to hell. Amen? Now last week we started off, our first note said this. Our first note was basically, everybody thinks and believes they're going to heaven. Right? Okay, we do. Most people think, you know, I've got a good shot at going to heaven maybe in. And again, last week we had a sealed deal with somebody getting saved last week. Yeah, amen. Believing for more of that today. Amen. But go ahead and put up the first note. Much like last week, most people don't believe that they're going to go to hell. I'm not going to go to hell. Or I hope I don't go to hell. Kind of like heaven. I hope I go to heaven, and I hope I don't go to hell. And the reason most people don't believe they're going to go to hell is they really don't believe that hell exists. That's the number one lie of the devil. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Now, why preach on hell? Well, number one, because the devil don't want you to. And why preach on hell? Because a lot of people, it's not popular to preach on hell. They don't want to hear about hell because it brings fear. But when you got Jesus, you don't fear hell because you know it's not part of your future.
Amen.
Okay? And so I would be remiss not to tell you that there's a real hell.
Yeah.
It's real. We're going to learn about it today some, okay? But oftentimes when you do hear a message on hell, it's almost like the pastor or whoever's preaching, it's glad there's one for you to go to. And they try to send you there. Amen?
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. Well, I stand before you today. I'm going to preach on hell. I am not glad there's a hell. And I'm not going to try to scare you out of there, but I will tell you the truth that might bring the fear of the Lord into your life where you will realize that you don't have to go there. Amen. So that's my goal today. Amen? Now, how many know the devil don't want you to believe in hell? Because if you get a glimpse into and can understand what hell really is, you will automatically pretty much run to Jesus. That's why he wants to downplay hell. An eternity in there, okay? Because, I mean, what's the first thing he did with Eve? He tried to convince her that she wouldn't die. If you eat, the Lord says, if I eat the apple or eat the fruit, I'm going to die. Oh, surely you will not die. And he would tell you today, I think there might be a hell. Oh, don't worry, it's not a hell. Don't worry about that. He's a liar. He is a liar and the father of lies. And it's so amazing that we don't look at eternity, but we look at our right nows. And we're so in love with the world right now that will not be here forever. You're in love with something that is not going to last in eternity. your possessions, your prizes, whatever it may be, the car or vehicle you got up here today, it won't be here. The house you go home to, it's not permanent. Nothing in this earth is permanent. Everything here is temporary. And I want to make sure you understand that. And last week we gave you a definition of heaven. Go ahead and put that back up. Heaven is a place where the presence of God is. That's what heaven is. That's why you literally can have heaven on earth, because you can walk with the presence of God in you on earth. Now, you don't have the fullness of heaven that's awaiting on us because we are still bound here on earth, but we can have a piece of heaven on earth. Amen? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, let's put up the definition of hell this morning. Hell basically is a place without the presence of God. And that's what the worst thing about hell is going to be. Of everything I can describe to you today, the fire, the gnashing of teeth, the gnawing of the flesh, the burning, the everlasting burning, the worst thing is going to be that you will never come into the presence of God, and you will have no hope to ever come into the presence of God again. And that's what makes hell hell, is you're going to know that God was real. You're going to know that Jesus was the way out of hell, and to love him, all you had to do was love him and obey him. And you wouldn't be in everlasting torment. That's going to be the hell part of hell. Separation from the full, pure love of God that sent a son, Jesus, to die for you so you wouldn't have to go. Wow. That's going to be hell. But we can have a version of hell on earth by our thoughts and our patterns and what happens to us here. And much like last week, if you believe in going to heaven, then the worst thing that can ever happen to you is while you're here on earth. Be the worst we ever have it. The worst things will ever have happened for all eternity will happen while we're confined to earth. If you don't believe there's a heaven waiting you, and you know you're probably going to go to hell because you haven't accepted Jesus, this is the best you'll ever have it. Because even your worst day here is a cakewalk compared to what hell's like. Okay, so make sure you understand that. Now let me give you the last reason I'm going to preach on hell today. They say that two of the worst ways to die on planet Earth is to die in a fire. Imagine that. That's number one, is to burn up in a fire. And I know some people who've lost loved ones in fires before. And that's a tragic death, to burn alive in a fire. And then the second thing is drowning. They say those are the two worst painful, emotional, type lingering deaths known to man. And I promise you today, that if I went by your house and I saw your house on fire, I don't care who you are, I don't care where you've been, I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you're the saint or if you're one of the worst sinners in the world. I don't care if you're straight, you're homosexual, whatever, you're alive. And if I could get in that house at all costs to myself, I would do everything I could to pull you out of that burning fire. I would. If I saw you drowning, I promise you I would jump in after you. That's why I'm preaching on hell today. Because maybe someone either here today or watching online or will listen later on a podcast or something will hear this message because they're burning and they're drowning. And we need to go after them. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. Amen. So, put up the next note. Not popular in today's time, but here's the deal. Hell is real. It's a real place. It's not just a fictitious thing in your mind and a season here on earth. There's a literal place of hell and torment. And without Jesus, let me say it again, without Jesus as your Lord and Savior, by you accepting him and living for him, you will go to hell for all eternity. Now, I know that's not popular, but it's not about being popular today. It's about being biblical. It's about telling you the truth where you can be set free from a lie and deception about hell. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ himself in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says this. These are the words of Jesus. Then he will say also to those who are on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Now watch this. Prepared for who? Prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, first thing I want to give you, and I taught this probably several years ago. I can't remember exactly when, so I'm not going to have time to go back and rehash all of this. But hell was not originally designed for you and I to be there. Hell was indeed designed for the devil and his angels to be cast into. But because we chose to surrender ourselves through the first Adam's sin, to give in to the things of earth and hell, then that became default where we would also end up because we made Lucifer more powerful than staying with God. So God had to honor our choice to go to the same place the devil is going to be for all eternity. He's not there now. He's not down in hell now. Okay, he's going to be cast in there. Y'all okay? Everybody say the devil. So now let me show you, if you're a follower of his, you get what he gets. If you're a follower of Jesus, you get what Jesus gets, eternal life. Amen? Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. The devil, everybody say the devil. The devil who deceived them, imagine that. That's all the devil can do today is deceive people. But he can only deceive those who come in agreement with him and fall prey to his false propaganda, falls prey to his lies and his tricks, gets you to wind yourself up in your only your condition, only your pity party, oh, nobody's as bad as I am, and God doesn't love me, and all the lies he'll tell you that you'll believe if you're gullible. Wow. The devil who deceived them, he was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone. Now watch this, where the beast and the false prophet are. Watch this, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Dear God, please don't let that be in your future. Well, how can I keep from that being my future? Jesus. And it's not just the Jesus you see on a billboard. It's not just the Jesus you see that your grandparents or your parents have. He has to become yours. And most importantly, you have to become his. Now listen to me. On his terms, not yours. On his terms, not my terms. Whew. And that's the only way you can live it. So we got to avoid hell at all costs. Listen, look at me. You don't want to go to hell. I promise you, you don't want to go there. If you study hell out, and I'm just scratching the surface today. This is not going to go real deep today. There's so much more. And Jesus taught more on hell than he did heaven. You study it long enough, you'll see Jesus talked a lot about hell, but he told you how to get out. Again, look at your neighbor and say, don't go there. Let me just tell you this. There is nothing, absolutely nothing on planet Earth that is worth you giving up heaven for and going to hell over. There is no man. There is no woman. There is no lustful thing. There is no pleasure. There is no amount of money. There is no amount of fame. There is no amount of notoriety. There is nothing on planet Earth worth you going to hell over. Nothing. It's a cost you don't want to pay. As a matter of fact, Jesus, teaching again the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 and 30, says this. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Everybody say, that's gross. Snatch your own eyeball out if it causes you to sin and cast it from you. Watch this now. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into where? I didn't think hell was real. This is the words of Jesus. If you have a red letter edition Bible, this will be written in red, signifying these were the actual words of Jesus teaching on earth. He says there is a place called hell, and he is a man that need not lieth, so there is a hell. Amen. And he says if your eyeball offends you so much and it gets you into a place where you're going to follow the things that you see and you're going to lust after the pleasures and the money and the fame of this world with your eye, you're better off snatching that eyeball out and let one member of your body be out from your presence and your whole body burn in hell. That's how serious it is. How many know your eyesight's pretty important? It's a vital part of you. But you'd rather be blind on earth than go into heaven where you can see eternity. Yeah. A big cost would be your eye. He goes on further. Next verse, verse 30. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it'd be more profitable for you that one of your members again perish than for your whole body to be cast into where? Hell. It says cut your hand off. If you're constantly reaching for the pleasures of the world, if you're constantly reaching for finances and money and this and that, that things will give you some status while you're on planet Earth, why do you think certain people are allowed to reach certain status? Because they've sold their soul to the devil. So he will let them have everything of their desires and their heart wants while they're on planet Earth, where they can go to hell for eternity with him. He'll give you the party while you're on Earth. He'll give you the pleasure while you're on Earth. He'll give you the compromise while you're on Earth. But what you don't know that he knows is eternity belongs to him. And you'll be with him in the lake of fire. Well, I think I'm good enough. No, you're not. I'm not good enough. You're not good enough. Only Jesus is good enough. But when you get Jesus, because of his blood, Satan no longer sees me in my sin. He sees the blood. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm covered in the blood. But this morning, that's just a prelude. I want to get to where I really wanted to get to today. Go ahead and put up the next note, please. If hell had a voice, what would it say to us? And let me tell you something. Hell, unfortunately, has many voices. And they're screaming right now. Let me make sure you understand this plane before I go any further. Hell is a place we've done heard of torment, a lake of fire and brimstone, burning. I'm not going to read you the thing today about there's going to be things gnawing at your flesh. People that I've talked to about going to hell that are just so deceived by the enemy, he has them convinced that if hell does exist, number one, it don't exist. Number two is if it does exist, man, all my friends are going to be there and we're going to party hard. We're going to drink and women and guys and drugs. I mean, it's just going to be, it's going to be the big keg party in hell. My friend, hell is utter darkness. Hell is filled with flames of fire and brimstone and things that are gnawing and gnashing at your flesh forever. It will not be a party in hell. If you can see anything, the only thing you will see is other people in torment screaming. You probably will not hear anybody else over your own screams. And that's not for a season. That's not for an operation procedure where you come out and you soar for a few days. It's for eternity. So what on earth is worth you going to hell over? When Jesus made it so simple and so easy, have faith in Jesus Christ, receive him as your Lord and Savior, repent, turn away from your sins, and live a good life on earth where you can go to heaven. Where's the downfall of that? Well, my friends may not like me no more. They were never good friends to begin with if they get mad if you get saved. Do you not understand that? That's a lie of the enemy. I might not be as popular. I'd rather be popular in heaven than popular on earth. I mean, do you not see the deception levels you're walking in? Well, I don't know what's real. I just don't know all this stuff today, all this stuff on the internet. Open this. Get off the internet and open the Bible. And I tell this several times to atheists and friends and things like that. If this is false, then we can throw it all away. And do you know how many scholars and PhDs and people with doctrines and high educations have set out to prove this thing wrong since the beginning of time with Jesus and the Word? And every one of them has failed, and every one of them will always fail because there is no lie in the Word of God. Now, they will tell you some things, but when it comes to proving it, they can't. Science proves that this is right. The Spirit of God proves that this is right. If you got half a brain, you can know this is right. But you've got to get right with Jesus and his word. Amen? And again, best I can recall, the only God on planet Earth in religion that has a risen Savior is the Lordship of Jesus Christ in Christianity. There is no other resurrection. I love y'all. But if hell had a voice, and it does, here's what it would be saying. And Jesus Christ gives this story in the Word of God in Luke chapter 16. Now, it's fairly a bit, I'm just going to read through the scriptures, and I'm going to point about four or five things out to you. And then we're going to let the Holy Spirit work. Amen? Amen. So Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. This is a rich man. Everybody say rich. Verse 30. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now, this is not the Lazarus that was raised from the dead. This is a different Lazarus. So here's this man named Lazarus. He was full of sores, and he laid at the gate. More than likely, it was leprosy, okay? He was desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Everybody just say, now, that's gross. That's just gross, the dogs licking on your sores. Okay? Now, I do want to stop here just for a moment. I said I wasn't going to stop, but I have to stop here. It says he's begging bread from the rich man's table. And what you must understand in those customs and times of that day, when you were rich and you got prepared to eat, you would wash your hands, you would soak your hands in a little bit of water, and then you would take a piece of bread and you would wipe your hands with bread to soak up the water and the dirt off your hands, and then you would throw and discard that bread onto the floor. This is what that man was after. He was after the hand-washing bread of the rich man. Dirty, nasty bread, but he would have took it. And the dogs was licking on his sores. Next verse. So that it was that when the beggar died and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which is heaven. Amen? Now, it had to be Abraham's bosom because it was Father Abraham, because Jesus had not died at this point. And we're under the old covenant here. So it's Abraham's bosom at this time, representing heaven. The rich man also died and was buried. So we got two deaths here. A rich man who had everything, all the pleasures, all the money, all the fame, all the titles, all the honor, all the respect. And we had somebody who was covered up with sores and sickness and diseases and afflictions. A beggar begging, oh, a terrible life on the earth, or so it seemed. And they both die. Carry on. And being in torments, plural, in Hades, which is hell, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So here we have the poor beggar, the sick man, the tormented man on earth ended up in heaven. The rich man who had everything that earth could ever give you, all the pleasures, the riches, the fame, the glory, he ended up in hell. Are you understanding this so far? Carry on. Then he, the rich man, cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send that Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Watch this now. For I am what? Tormented in this what? Flame. I'm burning up in this flame, just a drop of water. Not a drink, just a drop on the tongue. And that would have been heaven to him in hell, but you don't get that. You don't get to dictate from hell. You understand? You don't have any more rights in hell other than the right to remain there. You don't dictate to God what you do in hell. That got quiet. Next verse. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus his evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. My. How we live on earth matters. Next verse. And besides all of this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. Everybody say it's fixed. So that those who want to come pass from here, you cannot come. Nor can these from there pass to us. In other words, you have no chance of coming into here, and no one on my side is ever going to cross over onto your side. This is fixed, and it's not ever going to be anything different. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry, I'll change my mind. Too late. You had a lifetime on earth to change your mind. Next verse. Then he says, well, I beg you. Now, this is a rich man. I beg you, therefore, now watch what he's calling, Father. I beg you, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For there, next verse, for there I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Would you just at least, please go tell my family? Next verse. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear him. Let them hear them. Let them hear Moses and the prophets. I'm going to explain that to you in a minute. Next verse. And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, oh, then they'll repent." It's just kind of like today. Jesus has got to do something else for you to believe. And then when he does that, he's got to do something else before you give your life to him. And then when he does that, then it needs to be something else. It's always something else Jesus has got to do, ain't it? Because you're just not quite ready, and you're just not quite convinced to him. So he should do something just super major for you, because it's just you. I mean, you know who you are. You love yourself. And you're loving yourself straight to hell. Amen. But he said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one raised from the dead." You're not going to be persuaded by another miracle. You're not going to be persuaded by another promise or anything like that. My friend, you're sitting here today right now. You either love Jesus or you don't. You're not playing no in-between with nobody. Now, your emotions may be telling you, and you may be in conflict right now, and that's called spiritual warfare, because the devil don't want you to surrender your life today. God and the Holy Ghost are trying to pull you and reason with you and love you, and you're fighting it with all your might because you're afraid of what you'll have to give up. What you will be giving up is torment. That's all you're going to give up. Again, if your friends don't like you after you get saved, they wasn't a friend. And God will send new friends into your life. And even if he doesn't, he says, "I'll be your friend." One of the greatest things you can say is, "I'm a friend of God." They even wrote a song about it years ago. "I am a friend." No. That brings back flashbacks. "He called me a friend." Okay. Y'all understand that? Neither will even someone raising from the dead persuade some people. Do you know why he knows it won't persuade some people? Because he is the original one that rose from the dead. Now, he rose Lazarus from the dead, but Lazarus died again. Jesus was dead and then rose up and has never died. And he's alive at his Father's right hand. So if you're waiting to see the miracle, you know about the miracle. All you got to do is start believing in the miracle of Jesus' resurrection. And if you can believe that Jesus was resurrected and he was resurrected for you, you ought to run to Jesus and say, "I serve you with the rest of my life. Come and be my Lord and Savior." Absolutely. Wow. So let's look real quickly at this story. Number one thing, he was fully aware where he was at. This rich man, it ain't, again, he wasn't in some place where, if I go to hell, you will know you're in hell. He knew he was there. Amen? Turn to David and say, he knew. He had a memory. I don't know how much memory you will have, but you'll have enough memory to know that Jesus offered his life for you. You'll have enough memory to know that maybe you got loved ones that are lost just like you, and you don't want them to come there. He had regrets. You'll have regrets in hell. Second thing, the rich man knew that his eternity was permanent and fixed. He knew there was no getting out. If you'll notice, he didn't try to bargain his way out of there. Do you know, I believe that we have become such proficient liar and such narcissist that we think we'll be able to change God's mind once we get to hell. "Oh, look here, if you'll just let me out, I promise you I'll come dance around the throne with all everybody else. You can trust me. Come on. This is me." See, you've been used to manipulating your way through life with excuses and blame games and guilt trips and witchcraft. That's what all that stuff falls under, is a sin of witchcraft. Amen. You think you're really going to be to get down there, and you're so slick that you're going to talk Jesus out of your eternity. You're not. He knew it. It was permanent, it was fixed, and he knew it. He didn't like it, but he knew it. The third thing about the rich man, he understood, just like you will, even though you want to deny it, even though in your self-thinking, in your self-conscious, you'll say, no, I didn't. You will know deep down that you are in hell because you chose to be there. That's the only reason you'll be in hell. It's because you chose. No, I'll be in hell because of everything bad I've done. No, you won't go to hell because of all the bad things you've done. You'll go to hell because you refuse to repent and get it right with Jesus. Amen. That's the only reason you'll go to hell is denying Jesus. Wow. It's quiet in here today. If you'll notice this whole story, he complained to Jesus about the torment, or he complained to Father Abraham about the torment. He complained that his family was probably headed there. But not once did you hear him saying, oh, and by the way, I don't really deserve to be here. I mean, I did buy somebody lunch one time with my riches. I did give when they come by and taking up an orphan's fund. I gave a couple of shekels to that. I don't deserve to be here. Look at the good I've done. And he may have done great things. I don't know. And you may have done a lot of great works, but you don't get there by works. You cannot get to heaven and earn your way to heaven by good works here on planet Earth. You can only get to heaven through Jesus Christ. Again, let me quote this for you. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There ain't no good works to get you there. And then one of the last things, and I think this is the most important thing, voice out of hell, Father, please send somebody to my family. Please send somebody to my family. Parents, I hope you never have to say that. But I'm afraid we're living from generation to generation now where the devil's not having to lead a lot of young people to Christ because their parents are taking them straight there with them. You won't be there with your parents. Parents, your kids won't be there with you. You will be in the same place, but again, you will be isolated to your own torment, and you will probably never hear. And if you do hear, all you'll hear is their screams. Don't tell me you love your kids if you can't send them to heaven. You have a love for them, yes. But the ultimate love is for you to love God and lead your family to heaven. Generational salvation. Household salvation. Now, if it's parents, we can't make them get saved. But we can sure make sure they know. You can sure make sure they know. And it's not just about them knowing. They need to see. That's why I say they need to see mom and dad worshiping. They need to see and hear mom and dad pray. They need to see a marriage that represents God. They need to see a family going to church and sitting and paying attention and getting involved. Quiet now. Please, I beg you, send somebody to tell my family they don't want what I got. I'm sure while on earth, other people were very envious of what he had. His family probably looked at him, brothers and sisters that may not have made it like he made it, or family members, and I wished I could have what the rich man has. Look how he lives. Look how he dresses. Look at the camel he rides. He's got a sunroof on his camel. He's got the two-hump version, not the one-hump camel. The latest and the greatest. Look at the different places he has his gold and his silver and how he dresses. He's got Gucci and Louis Vuitton all over him. Woo! I wished I could live like he lives. And yet when all that's said and done, none of that was in hell with him, and he was telling everybody he could send somebody to tell him, you don't want what I have. The best it was for him was while he was on earth. Amen. The best it was. And you may say, man, I'll be all right with that. That's cool. I'm young. I got plenty of time. No. Listen to all the older people in here go, no, you don't. Because like we talked about, every 3 seconds someone's dying. Or every second, three people are dying. That's what the statistics. Every second, three people are dying. Old, middle-aged, young, infant, death has no discrimination. None of us are guaranteed to draw our next breath. And yet you are sitting here today, maybe, and heaven and hell is in the balance for you. Heaven and hell is not in the balance for people who have accepted Christ. Heaven is the only thing in our balance. Hell is not a problem. Because we have a Savior that's already whipped and defeated death, hell, and the grave for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So let's pretend just for a moment, if I were the devil. I know some of you think sometimes I am. Well, if I or you were the devil, if we were the devil, the deceiver, the destroyer, the father of lies, what do you think we would do? Here's what I would do. Number one, I would try to convince every person that hell wasn't real. Or that if it was real, it wasn't that big of a deal. Again, it would be, hey, party time for all of us when we get down there. Look, no more restrictions in hell. You'll be able to have pleasure and joy. Oh, it's going to be a blast. Every drug, every kind of pimp, whore, prostitute, whatever you need is going to be here. Woo, flesh of glory. That's what I'd try to convince you. But I'd first try to convince you it wasn't even real at all. Don't worry about it. The second thing I would do is I would tell you, just live how you want to live. Enjoy this life while you're here. Cast off restraint. All that other stuff is, they don't want you to have a good time. They don't want you to do anything. Oh my gosh, what a boring life, man. You've only got one life to live. After it's over, it's just over. Nothing's going to happen bad. So live the way you want to live down here. Do what you want to do. You do you. You live a self-centered life. Make sure it's all about you. And you go after every comfort and pleasure you can for yourself because it's all about you. It's all about you. Do what you want to do. You're the man. You're the woman. Come on, y'all. Yeah. Amen. And if you start feeling guilty, and I know there's a Holy Ghost on the earth that comes around and can just start justifying your sin. Come on now. Just justify your sin. Compare it with somebody else's and you'll probably be okay. You're not that bad. I mean, everybody else is doing it. People that go to church do it too. They call themselves Christians. You're just as good as them. Don't worry about it. Self-justify. Just deal with it. You'll be okay. Just justify it. And make sure you live without any fear of God. Don't live with no fear of God. And when I say fear of God, I'm talking about don't live with any kind of respect or honor toward Him. He's not even real. Don't worry about it. You do you, and in the back of Satan's mind, until I can get you into eternity in hell. Yeah. And then the last thing, when Christ does come knocking in, He probably will at some point in time in your life, because that's just what He does. Pesky little sucker. Always knocking on people's hearts, opening His arms up, saying, let me love you past your sin. Let me put you under the blood. And don't, just make sure you always reject that. Because that's just a bunch of them Bible thumpers trying to shove religion down your throat. And you don't need that. We don't have time for that. You don't have time to feel bad about what you've done. It's okay. For the love of, I can't say for the love of God. For the love of Satan, and Lucifer, no, I can't say that, that might scare you. For the love of yourself, for the love of yourself, always reject any notions you have about going to Jesus Christ. Amen. Make sure you don't understand His love for you. Make sure you never study the resurrection. Don't ever study the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because if you did that, I probably wouldn't be able to lie to you no more. And whatever you do, don't read the Bible. Just stay away from this. This is an old history book. It's an old book of do's and don'ts, and they don't want you. This is a boring book. It's filled with lies. There's no way all that happened. It's just fiction. There's lots of other, mythology, and just don't take this at value. It's just fiction, sci-fi. Whatever you do, don't read Romans 3:23. Don't read this. Don't read that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. You're the only one. You're the only one that's so bad that God can't love you. You know He can't forgive you of your past. You know you've even told others you don't even believe there is a God. You call yourself agnostic or atheist. Just stick with that. Don't realize that everybody else didn't know God like you. don't understand that you all are in the same boat. I need to keep you isolated where I can manipulate you. Please don't read everybody sinned and everybody's fallen short of God. And make sure if you read that, don't you ever go to Romans chapter 5, 8. Don't go there. Don't go that it said where God demonstrated his own love toward us, you, in that while we were not in this sinner, Christ died for us. Make sure you don't believe that load of garbage. Because if you believe that as a sinner, even a sinner would turn to Christ. Even the worst of sinners, even the worst of atheists, agnostic, other, everyone would come to Christ if they understood that. And you're too smart for that. You won't fall for that. Just stay away from the book of Romans. You'll end up getting saved if you go there. And then you'll be one of them that I'm teaching the world to hate and persecute. And there's one other place please don't go to this place either. Don't go to 2 Peter 3:9. Because it's going to tell you this, that the Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but in fact the Lord, he's long-suffering towards you. And he's not willing that any of you should perish, but that you all should come to repentance. That would give you hope. That would give you light at the end of the tunnel about your situation and that you're too bad and too messed up that you can't go to this loving God. That would destroy my deception and my lies. So whatever you do, don't dare believe the word of God. Just stay where you're at. Stay in your self-centeredness. Stay in your comfort. Stay in your self-justification. And stay in the Lucifer's deceptive lies that I've got you believing. Stay right there, and you'll be fine forever. Stand to your feet. Do you know how many people are standing in that exact position this morning? Probably even right here in this body, watching online this morning, watching online or hearing this whenever you listen to it, replay it, share it with someone. You're in that place. Bow your heads, please. The devil's thumping at you right now. He's countering all this with what excuses and all that. But it's the truth that sets you free. And I just spent just a few handful of minutes telling you nothing but lies. Lies keep you in bondage and truth will set you free. I want you to look up at the screen one more time and put that last note up. And here's what I want you to understand. Jesus came and died for you. Listen now. Not just so you wouldn't go to hell. But he came that you could have a life while you're here on earth. A life filled, even in an earth that has fallen, a life filled with the Spirit of God that lets you live through the things that earth throws at you with his grace and his mercy and his love. And he validates who you are as a child. And the reason you don't feel that is because you've not surrendered your life to Christ. A lot of people are hoping for heaven over there while they live in hell right here. Listen, friend, don't put up with hell on earth either. Don't put up with that on earth as it is in heaven until you get to heaven. Now bow your heads. So if you're here today, it doesn't matter what kind of life you've lived. It doesn't matter if you've been that prostitute or that pimp. It doesn't matter if you've been that homosexual or that transgender. It don't matter if you're a liar. It doesn't matter if you've stole something. It doesn't matter if you're a murderer or a rapist. What matters today is you can put all that behind you simply by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ and receive what he done on that cross for you. His blood that was shed for your sin because you could not save yourself. And what we're not offering you today is, we never offer you church membership today. We don't offer you a certain religion today. The only thing we offer you is for you to surrender your life to the man who died for it, Jesus Christ. And for you to repent of your past and get over your sins and hand them under the blood of Jesus and be washed clean today and unashamed of you or your God today. And start living life forward in the Word and in the presence and in the worship of Jesus Christ. That's what we offer today because that's what Jesus is. If that's you today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, and this is an old evangelistic stump, it's always been, but it's so true. If you knew today that you would die, would you go to heaven or hell? And that's not an easy question, but it is so easy to answer because you know the truth. You know if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know if you haven't. But my friend, today is not a wasted time. And I don't believe you're here today to hear this message by accident, nobody. So right now, without anybody being ashamed of anything, if you want to get born again and give your life and surrender it to Christ, just throw your hand up right where you're at, anybody. Come on, right there. Come on. Yeah! Yeah! Yeah, 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 yeah! Come on, anyone else? Anyone else? Don't let this time slip away. You may not get another. Not going to hold it open much longer. Doesn't mean you're shut off from God. It just means we got to carry on. How many of you would say today, I said yes to Jesus at some point in my life, and I know heaven's awaiting me, but I've allowed a lot of hell to come on me in this earth. I've backed off from my relationship with Jesus. I'm not where I used to be. And I don't want you to go back to what you used to be. I want you to go something greater. Because even on your best days as a child of God, if you were to backslide from that, that means they wasn't good enough to keep you. So you've got some adjusting to do in your mind and your emotions and your soulish realm to get to that point where you're living heaven to earth. And if that's you, just lift your hand. Come on, sometimes we call it, we just need to rededicate ourselves back. Because maybe we've justified and compromised and compared ourselves among someone else, and we've, well, everybody else is doing it stuff. And you know deep down the Holy Spirit's been just tugging away, saying, you know that's not my plan for you. You know that's not the way you represent me. You know that's not the way I've raised you. And it's time to come back out of that and repent from that and do the first works again. All right, every hand go back down. Now, Father, we're going to pray, first of all, with our new brother and sister in Christ this morning, God. And I want us to pray this together. Even though you may already be saved, let's pray together because I believe there's power in a family prayer. So let's say this. For the person that raised their hand, I want you to say this with your new family of brothers and sisters in Christ right now. Dear Jesus, here I am, and I'm ready. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came from heaven to earth. He lived for me. He died for me. He rose from the dead for me. And He's alive in heaven for me right now. And by the power of His Holy Spirit, I have been drawn to my salvation today. Father, Father God, forgive me of my sins. I repent from them. Wash me right now. Brand new and clean. And I receive that from the throne of heaven right now. Come into my whole life and be my Lord and my Savior. Today I confess that I have been saved by grace through Jesus Christ. And I am no longer the person I was. I am now, right now, a child of God, and I'll be that forever. Now, Father, give me the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to live in triumphant victory. Come on, in triumphant victory over everything the devil's going to throw at me the rest of my life. Devil, you lost. In Jesus' name, thank you for saving me, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give him praise this morning, church. Come on, get you some praise on up in this town.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.